Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have one of our really good friends, Maggie Killian. How are you today?
I'm pretty good.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to talk to you. Maggie was in the office about a week ago, and we were sort of discussing different things. She is, she kind of works for A to Z. She also works for the Mavericks, and she also helped paint our Jesus Christ Superstar set.
Yes.
So that is why I was so excited to talk to you. So Maggie, first question, how the fuck did you get to the couch today?
I drove here.
Yeah.
In my car. But fun fact, driving is kind of my irrational phobia. I hate driving. I hate it. Since I was a little kid, I had nightmares about, like, from the time I was four, about dying in a car accident. Like, those are my anxiety nightmares. So I really hate driving. But I made it. So every time I drive somewhere in the morning, it's an achievement.
Is that, is your phobia...
I love this.
I made it weird. It's October, so I went dark really fast.
Do you hate riding in cars too, or is it just the driving?
It depends on the driver.
Okay.
If it's someone I trust, I'm fine. If it's someone I don't know very well, like I won't take an Uber because I don't trust other people.
Yeah. Have you been in the car with my husband? I apologize in advance.
I have ridden. I just sort of just take some deep breaths. But yeah. I really don't like driving. It took me a really long time to learn how to drive, but I decided I needed to because it is freedom and that's how we get around in the world.
I face
fears every day when I get in the car to go.
That's
somewhere.
Incredible. So then I'm going to tell you a story. My biggest fear with driving, because I also don't like driving, mostly just because I don't like the act of having to travel somewhere, like the idea of traveling, but I don't like flying. I don't want to, like, I'm just like, can I just arrive there? Is teleportation a thing yet?
Yeah. I want to get the tubes, like Futurama, just like take us to wherever we need
to
go. So
that doesn't scare you, but no. Driving does?
Yeah, that's
going
true.
400 miles an hour in an underground tube makes
well,
sense.
Well, I could just close my eyes and I'm not, and disassociate.
It's so short. It's so
right,
short.
Right, exactly.
Suspension of disbelief.
So I don't like driving over bridges because I was convinced that I was, like, that I have these huge, huge fears and I'm like, how do I get out? So I've watched that Mythbusters a lot of times and people think it's ridiculous because the most romantic gift that Alex has ever gotten me, hands down, in our nearly 20 years together is a spring-loaded center punch because that is what the Mythbusters decided is that you need in your car to get out.
I've seen that one too.
Right, when you drive over the bridge and it is in my car at all times and people think that is ridiculous. I'm like, what's the best gift Alex has ever gotten
you? Can I fuck with your head? You know that if it's in your car, is it in your purse or in the car?
It's normally, I used to have two. I used to carry one on my purse so that I could be in somebody else's car and have that
kind
of thing.
Because you switch cars a lot. There's a lot of times I roll up in the morning and I'm like, what car are you in?
which Hamilton version of car from A to Z are you in?
Well, okay, Miss
Hardy.
Well, I'm glad you got here today.
Yeah, I was safe. No car accidents. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm driving, you know, a giant several-ton-killing machine, and other people on the road are in their giant several-ton-killing machines.
Yeah, that's great. All right.
Did it. Face of fears every day.
Fascinating. That might be the end of the episode, folks. I know. I need it.
And that was Couch Chats this week with Corey and Courtney. No, just kidding. Before you drove here today, what would you consider yourself your daily job?
Ha, my daily job.
Yeah.
So I get asked this a lot, and I tell people what you normally think of as a side hustle. I have like 10 of those, and I just put together a whole bunch of side hustles, and that's my life.
Would you consider, many people that we talk to on the couch, they are their own brand. They are their own company. Would you consider, like, that you are the CEO of Maggie Incorporated or something?
I suppose so. I don't really have a very business... I'm not as business savvy as I'd like to be. But, that's true. I do have a website and, you know, and can make invoices and that sort of thing. So, yeah, that makes me an adult, right?
Yeah. About as much of an adult as I am, for sure. So you work, one of your side hustles is with A to Z, is that correct?
That's true, yeah. They call me in to paint stuff or carve giant foam trees happened recently. So I'm sort of the on-call artist, I guess, is, you know, contract
cool.
me to do the weird paint and build stuff that nobody else is ready to do.
Well, because I know some of the fun things we get to talk about, let's itemize some of these jobs. So, how did you get into being the scenic painter sort of extraordinaire that you are?
Sure. I went to college at Mizzou thinking that I was going to get a degree in theater education. Like, I wanted to mm-hmm. teach drama to young minds, mm-hmm. which I do some. It's one of the side hustles. But, the year that I started, they were phasing out theater ed as a program, so I was going to end up grandfathered in with a degree in English ed, and I was like, nah.
What year was this?
2001.
Cool.
Yeah. So I ended up just changing my major to theater, and then I started taking tech classes and working for some children's theater companies in town and realizing that I was needed to design a thing or stage manage something, and I realized that that was, like, where I really wanted to be after experiencing it was the more technical, artistic side mm-hmm. of things.
Did you ever think about going across the street to Stevens?
I did. I don't always get along with large groups of women super well, so I didn't think that was going to be the right mm-hmm. environment for me. Mm-hmm.
Were you guys in Columbia at the same time?
We would not have been in Columbia at the same time. I'm a Stevens graduate.
Cool.
Hashtag alma mater. so I always love to talk to people because there's a lot of people in Columbia who we knew when we mm-hmm. went to Stevens that went through sort of like the MU program as well. And,
right.
One of our things that we kind of tried to do, that Stevens College had kind of a black box theater next to it called The Warehouse,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
we would often try to engage MU people to come and sort of, because that was sort of the outlet that we had. So I always just loved
yeah.
to ask sort of that.
Yeah, I mean, I had friends that went there, and I knew people there, but, you know, MU, and I really liked the tech professors there, and so I was mm-hmm. really, you know,
totally
went into the tech department, and... Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, the cool thing there was that I feel like I got, because it was a large university but a fairly small department, I got to design everything, mm-hmm. you know, for main stage shows when you're an undergrad is not
yeah.
all programs.
Yeah.
So,
what was your favorite main stage show you got to design? Do you remember?
I'd have to think about it. It's been so long. It feels like forever ago.
18 years ago. I mean, you know.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
I worked on a production of For Colored Curls that was really neat.
Cool. That's going to be in Kansas City. Yeah, they're in rehearsals right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, the rep's yeah. doing it. Yeah.
yeah.
I haven't seen that show since probably then. So, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, that was a lot of fun. I honestly don't remember what I did on it. It was a good production, and like, yeah.
I love that.
So that's the one that pops into my head first. I mean, I did a whole lot, the playwriting department was also a big thing at Mizzou, so it was a whole lot of new shows
yeah.
that nobody knows or remembers, but.
Did you delve into playwriting?
I tried it. You know, I think that, I really do believe that, like, creativity breeds other creativity, so even though that wasn't my emphasis, and I don't really feel like writing plays is my thing, but, you know, I think that if you spend some time in any creative mm-hmm. arts, it
yeah.
helps you
absolutely
just build your creative mind. And
we, that's kind of our business model here at the Arts Asylum, sort of that idea that if you kind of put all of the like-minded mm-hmm. weirdos in one wall, you know, under one
yeah.
wall together, they might all start to create or inspire one another. Mm-hmm. What was your first project post-graduation?
Right after I graduated from Mizzou, I moved to Minnesota to work for Klein Children's Theater, which is an issue-based, touring children's theater company. Cause I really wanted to work with a touring company for a little bit mm-hmm. to
sure.
see how I liked it and to just meet new people. And, so their big deal is that they're issue-based. So like if some school has their sixth graders that are having a big issue with bullying, then they'll ordered Climb's bullying program, and a team
cool.
of actor educators will go in and approach it from a theatrical perspective. So they'll role play situations with the students and
How long has that program been going in Minnesota, do you know?
I think they started in the 70s.
Cool.
Like, they've been around a while, yeah.
I love sort of those, you call it issue-based, is that what you said? Issue-based sort of ideas. We, with our Crossroads High School, we have a group of kids, and I'll let Courtney sort of speak about that, that are called Project, you know, Impact.
Team Impact.
Team Impact, yeah.
Yeah, and they're actually all completely student-driven, that we had, so we teach at the Crossroads Prep Academy, which is the high school of the Crossroads Charter Schools, and their first year with us was also the Vegas shootings and Parkland, and, you know, we went through kind of a lot with them in that first year, and at the, in that first year, they were actually just in offices at the park extension downtown, and so they just had, like, two classrooms, because there was only 35 kids in the founding class, and, they tried to do their walkout with the national walkout, and I believe that the bank that they were in, Bank Tower, called security on them. And so they walked straight to City Hall, and they formed their own kind of thing to deal with teen issues from teen perspective. Yeah. So last year they did a show about teen suicide. The year before that they did one about school shootings, and it's a super cool little...
Yeah.
It's a way that kind of speaks to everybody in, you know, I mean, that's right. the
they,
best part
they
about
they sort of talked, the premise of that, and I can't remember which student I was talking to, because the Coterie sort of does their AIDS, you know, and HIV research, you know, where they go out. And I just remember talking, what did you say?
Project Pride.
Project Pride, yeah. And I remember talking to one of the students, and they essentially saying that they didn't have an issue-based program that they could go to. So that is so fascinating to me that you worked... under a program that would sort of service that need to students.
And I mean, they hit mostly the upper Midwest is their big area, but I mean, I went to California and the Dakotas and
cool.
you know, I got to travel quite a few places with them. And
that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you from Kansas City originally?
I'm from Mexico, Missouri.
Really?
Yep.
So what got you to Columbia? Did you go from Mexico, Missouri to Columbia? Is that...
yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I lived a sort of sheltered existence in good old small town Midmo, and so I wasn't ready to go super far from town, but I knew I wanted, like, college life, and I was super overachiever. Like, I had taken all of the dual credit classes at my high school and college classes at the community college on my summers because I was a dork. I'm still a big dork, but in a different way.
We collect weirdos.
So yeah, so I started at MU like as a sophomore anyway, and which was good, because then I changed my major a bunch and decided, fine, I'm just taking all the theater and art classes that I don't want to take.
I went to Stevens sort of the same way because of my high school education and my international baccalaureate diploma candidacy. I was able to go into my college and, like, essentially just start my major, which was really kind of cool for me as a young kid. I still had to take some weird classes. Like, I got to take a crime class or something that fulfilled these... weird things, but in general, I was so glad that I killed myself in high school and stuff to make, like, it really did pay off in the long
run. Right,
right,
you don't have to take college algebra.
No, I went in and they literally gave me an assessment test on my first day and all that, and I think, like, disgustingly, I don't know if this is good for a Stevens diploma or whatever, but I think I just had to get like a 60% on the whole test. I don't know, like, I don't know what, like, my actual score was. It was literally a pass fail sort of test, but I think that it was something like you pretty much just have to prove that you went to high school, you know, at some point.
Do you know the slope intercept formula?
I used to.
I took college algebra in high school, but it's been a while.
That's the one that sticks out in my head. I failed algebra like 12 times.
Geometry makes perfect sense to you?
Geometry makes perfect sense to me. I'm a visual learner.
I get that, yeah. No, yeah. I did better in geometry than I did in other.
I don't
pre-calc and other nonsense.
Theoretical numbers, I need like hard facts.
I always love, I'm pretty bad at standardized tests, which I think a lot of people sort of are. Not that I think that people aren't intelligent, but I don't think that we do enough to train people how to actually take tests correctly. Like, I do think, you know, it's more of just, like, the answer-based, and I always did far better in college and high school if I was able to explain my answer, because I still believe that the answer is there, even if it's not, now, you know, obviously 2 plus 2 equals 4, mm-hmm. but what if I can explain to you how I know it's 4, or should mm-hmm. be 4, and not just
mm-hmm. memorize it?
Yeah. Not just memorize it. That
Common Core, I think, is what's trying to fix that, but I don't understand Common Core either.
I don't know math.
My husband is a teacher. Well, he's actually the curriculum coach mm-hmm. At the alternative elementary school for mm-hmm. KCPS.
How long have you been married?
12 years.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know.
Yeah.
12 years you've been married?
Yeah.
That's awesome. How did you two meet?
We met in stage makeup class.
Yes.
Yeah, at Mizzou. Uh-huh. Yeah. We sat next to each other. And so the fantasy assignment where you have to, design your fantasy makeup and then implement mm-hmm. it. He made himself an explosion, a comic book explosion that said bam, yeah. except he was looking in the mirror, and so he wrote
map.
It backwards. Yep, yeah. It said map, and that's the guy I married. Mm-hmm. That goofball who couldn't figure out how mirrors work is my
husband.
Did
you start dating in academia and then got married? Was there a breakup
yes.
sort of in between, or was that sort
there,
of
your... There was a short breakup. Yeah, we needed some space because it was a pretty small department, so we were in all of our classes and shows together, and we just needed a little break. And I spent a summer in New York. I took classes at Stella Adler mm-hmm. in New York.
Love that.
Because I wanted to see if I could. Because I still was, even though I had kind of decided tech theater, I was still kind of on the fence about, well, do I want to mm-hmm. act or do I want to tech? So I decided I needed to go out into the theater world.
Okay. My time in New York was completely eye-opening to mm-hmm. me. I had it showed me what I thought I was capable of doing. And not that I didn't believe in myself, but just the ability to be like, think about how you can get yourself one day to New York
sure.
in different stepstones instead of, I just didn't think that I had the determination to hit the pavement mm-hmm. and become a Broadway star. I knew that I was going to have to arc my way there if I wanted to end up there.
Yeah, and I still, I think I want, wanted to teach in arts and my weirdo lifestyle, but I wanted to have that experience. Broke up with my boyfriend and, mm-hmm. Went to New York for a little bit mm-hmm. and found myself, mm-hmm. found this adorable weirdo.
I love that. I love, and whatever it took for you to get to us, I'm pretty excited. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. So, you do that. You mm-hmm. painted our Jesus Christ Superstar set.
Yep.
Thanks for doing that, by the way.
Sure. It was fun.
Yeah, so Jesus Christ Superstar has now technically finished its second weekend of performances.
Correct.
Yeah. When this airs, which will be on October 3rd? 4th?
Yes, 3rd. We'll be picking up our
in week 3, so mm-hmm. we will technically, we are halfway done
yeah.
with mm-hmm. the run of Jesus Christ Superstar. You painted that... pretty much that entire damn set in there.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Not really the whole room that it's in also.
Yes.
That's true. No, I did have a moment when I was painting. I was like, huh, I did the wall treatments mm-hmm. and everything.
We almost died from the glue on the foam
yes.
panels of the wall.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that, either a car accident as discussed or...
chemical-based.
I'll be working with paint. I don't have a very good sense of smell. Mm. Probably because of paint.
Burned it away, yeah.
Right, yeah. So I'm pretty sure that's how I'm going to go. I'll be working with contact cement or something and take off my respirator and just...
peel over.
Yep.
What a way to go, right?
I don't know, you must not have been at the shop. Remember when we were carving something? This was, I think, not even at the A to Z location currently. It was at the Heartland shop. When everybody got the rash.
2711 Warwick?
Yeah. Everybody got the rash from whatever that was mm-hmm. that we were like building all of these huge foam things.
Was that a Silpata thing?
Maybe it might have been a Silpata thing. Huge foam things. Oh, because we had to make a gigantic,
Starbucks cup.
9-foot-tall Starbucks cup.
Mm-hmm.
And there
mm-hmm.
was like a coating that went over all of the foam and the entirety of the shop went down with body covering rash.
It is an A to Z lore now. It's been passed down. I was not there for that, mm-hmm. but I've been told.
Yeah.
It is.
So I stay away from whatever products
that
I don't know about.
It's kind of crazy when you look back, and I sort of, I miss a little bit of those novice days, back in the in the 2009-10s, whenever we would be able to say, of course we can build the Starbucks cup, and then after we got the bid, be like, no, how the fuck did we make a Starbucks cup? You know, like,
just our lives in general?
Sometimes, like, my students will ask me about, you know, like, well, how do you figure out your paint techniques, or why do you do it that way? I'm like, I don't know, I just made it up at some point. Like, right. I just...
Well, we all have our own wood grain, you know. Yeah. I can wood grain the Cory way. And it starts with burnt sienna, let me tell you. So, awesome that you do that. I also know that maybe you have a little side hustle with some hockey players as well.
Yes, I believe that if you are to look up my title, it's listed as the co-director of Fun and Games.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
Do you share that with your other counterpart?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I think that I could probably, you know, my face is not seen. I don't know how anonymous I'm supposed to be. Technically, my contract just says anonymous while in costume.
Okay, fair enough.
So, like, I can't. I mean, I don't talk in a
costume.
You do not
in
talk
the head
with
right
her
now.
In costume, because I have tried to get you to talk to
yeah,
me while
no,
you're in
I
costume.
Yeah, no, I don't talk in costume.
Yeah.
It's like, put
I get an extra long
on.
Hug sometimes.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, put the head on and then I'm in there. Mm-hmm.
So Maggie...
Unless something goes super wrong, I'm not talking.
So Maggie is one part of a macaroni and cheese, or mac and cheese,
mac
if you will.
Mac and cheese, yep.
And she is the cheese. Usually you could see her some... Do you ever have to put on ice skates? Do you ever...
I'm currently trying to learn how to ice skate.
Okay, cool.
Fair. I have not done it during a game yet.
And are you technically at every game as that character?
Yes, I mean with a couple of exceptions, you know, a couple of conflicts where a sub goes in, mm-hmm. which will probably be whatever sad intern they convinced to do it this year, but.
How long have you been said cheese?
This is my second season.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
that's
we're,
so
we're
nice.
Just starting my second season. Yeah, mm-hmm. So actually we have... shameless plug, we have exhibition game on Friday the 4th, mm-hmm. and then the full season starts soon after that.
How did you get involved with the Mavericks?
They had posted an audition notice somewhere, and I was like, yep, I'm good at that weird stuff. Mm-hmm. So I auditioned. And
you don't have to travel with them, though, right?
I do not travel with them. Hockey players are rough, and opposing mm-hmm. teams are mean.
Okay. Fair.
They've actually like changed the location of our dressing room this season so that we don't ever have to like walk through you know, like where the opposing team will be. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean nobody's ever done they haven't ever done anything terrible to me, but
wow.
You can
that's intense.
Hockey players get angry when they're not doing well, and they sometimes can take it out on
the mascot.
I oddly really love hockey games. Like, that's something that I oddly actually like all sporting events, because it is the coolest form of theater ever. Because people are cheering, people are rooting, you've got usually an intermission at some point, sometimes two.
There's two mm-hmm. in hockey, yes.
And people are able, like, the format of it, and I think my dad, who's listening, is one of the ones who sort of made that analogy for me when I was very young, that just how sort of exciting and similar sports is to... theater, and maybe somewhere psychologically he was trying to, like, show me...
Convince you to like...
to show me that, like, that you can take the tools and sort of apply them to any sort of profession
right.
that you're wanting, that mm-hmm. it's all sort of a, you know, a performance in some way.
Right.
The world is a stage, if you will.
Yeah.
If you will. Thanks, Bill Shakes.
Yeah, I'm not a sports person, but the only sport that I've ever, like, really been interested in, like, if it, you know, is a televised game or something, would be hockey. I'd be like, yeah, you know, that mm-hmm. is engaging to me. In the suit, about the only time I get to really watch the game is, like, if we go into overtime and I'm waiting for us to score and go out, mm-hmm. but that's also the most exciting time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you ever get to ride the Zamboni?
They usually don't put us on the Zamboni.
Have you been on it?
I don't think that I've been on the Zamboni. If we have, like,
It's scary
trucks
shit.
Or cars or things on the ice. Like, I'll sometimes ride on weird stuff. Mm-hmm. But
how thick is that ice?
It's pretty thick.
It's just like a, yeah.
It's I whenever Tyson and I were able to ride the Zamboni, here couple of months ago, if you will. Just the prep for it was just so funny when they're like, put your hand here, don't touch this, it's about 7,000 degrees, don't look to your left, you might fall off. And you're like, okay, oh, and by the way, you can't hear anything because it's so loud. It's so loud.
I don't remember who it was. Maybe it's Alex that has always wanted to go on a Zamboni. We've gone now to two games that they do, like an A to Z night.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was also right after the Vegas shooting, and I couldn't go in. I was just like, I can't do crowds right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Violet, my almost 5-year-old now, is in it. Like, she is about that.
She's playing soccer right now, right?
She's, like, decided. Yeah. She's like, I want to be on a hockey team. I love this. So I went in and was able to watch her the last time we went, and it was pretty. She likes the sports, which is good. I need one that's going to give me some sport something, because it's not Riley or is.
Well, and my plug for, like, minor league sports is that they really are, like, a much more family-friendly thing than I think major league sports are.
Yeah.
When I was in Minnesota, I had several friends who worked for the St. Paul Saints, which is the minor league baseball team up there, owned by Bill Murray.
Chivon.
Yeah. But I mean, that was just like an entertainment experience. Yeah. Like all the ushers were actors, and they all, you know, it was always a theme. They were always in costume. Like, they were never just in regular clothes. So so since experiencing that, I'm like, minor league sports is where it's at.
Yeah.
So that's always kind of my goal and my mission of it too, is, you know, I'm there for the family fun entertainment.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I think if it wasn't clear, Cheese is the little sister, so she's supposed to be like 6. Often people confuse them as boyfriend and girlfriend.
That's what I thought.
Until this case. Brother and sister.
Mac and
was
Cheese.
Not an option.
Mac and Cheese are brother and sister.
What's your last name?
I don't know.
Maverick, obviously.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'd have to look at. I think there's a player card out there somewhere for me.
Is there?
I guess it's Maverick.
So for our listeners, if you are just tuning in, we are talking with Maggie and sort of discussing, like, side hustles. So you can paint a set, you can act, you can be a entertainer out in front of a hockey stadium. Any other side hustles you'd like to share?
Sure. I work for some other party companies. So in addition to Cheese, recently I've been Elmo and Chase from Paw Patrol a couple times. Mm-hmm. So yeah. If it involves a mascot head, it's likely me in it.
That's awesome.
I don't know. I mean, because I've done other stuff too. I probably have a borderline personality disorder. I mean, people who are just like, no, I definitely am more comfortable around people when I'm in a costume. Like, even talking to you today, I made sure to put on a cutesy 50s dress and, like, put on, like,
isn't that what actors are, though? Like,
yeah,
isn't that how that
it
works?
Is important to me, like, if I leave the house, I am in some sort of costume, like, whether it's my painter costume or my, like, yeah. So I get along in the world much better if I'm...
If you have a persona.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's weird. I know.
Is your persona... Hold on, because I'm crazy, too. I love crazy. Is your persona anytime you leave the house? Or is it situational?
It's a little bit situational. I mean, because if I need to go to the grocery store in sweatpants, I will, but I don't really like to. Like, I'll usually, you know, actually do something with myself.
Because I have perfect vision, yet I will wear glasses, because that is my alternate personality.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
Because I feel like if I have the glasses on, Corey's not there.
That's right. What is, does Corey have a full name when he has his glasses on?
Well, it's a little bit like Superman. It's sure. Like he, it is my thing, and I do call my alternate personality Clark Kent, okay. Who also has the same initials as Corey Childs. Mm-hmm. So, yep, crazy. Hi. And there was a night, what was that? Two Saturdays ago, or this past Saturday, mm-hmm. whenever I was wanting to go up to do the curtain speech for Jesus Christ Superstar, and I was like, all I want to do is put on the glasses mm-hmm. right now, mm-hmm. and I can't because yeah. Corey needs to talk to everyone, mm-hmm. not Clark.
This is okay. Very sure. fascinating.
Yeah, we're weirdos.
Yeah. does your alternate personality, is that a defined one, or is it just like anything besides being Maggie? Does that make sense? Like, is, like, the housewife a personality? Or are you like, hey, welcome
to Podcast. I like to think that it's a little bit more vintage pinup than housewife.
Sure, okay. But, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, that's okay. I mean, I guess I'd bake cookies, but...
Do you bake cookies?
I can. I don't really like cooking.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But baking is different.
There's baking's a little different. Like, I can handle baking, but yeah, I'm not much of a chef, so.
So, yeah. So, do you have multiple personalities?
I have to be dressed appropriately for the situation.
Cool.
So, like, I can't walk into the hardware store in this. I would have to put on my paint clothes. Like, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. partially because sexism, but.
Yes.
Because if I walk into the hardware store like this, everybody goes, oh, honey, do you need some help? And I'm right. like, no, I know more than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I come in my overalls, then...
Isn't
then
it so much more gratifying when you look like that and then you're like, no, I know more than you?
Yeah. Oh, it's yeah.
Because like, when they don't approach you, I'm like, whoa, mm-hmm. why do you think that this is okay? But I can't know what I'm doing in that. Mm-hmm. My mm-hmm. favorite thing used to be walking into the shop and using the chop saw and the stilettos. Like, because I was in the middle of something. And
me just too.
Like,
yep.
And people would be like, what is she doing? And I'm like,
yep.
right. Remember,
I built this place.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Remember that Alex had an original crew, and that was me.
Yeah, yeah. I think I was still in Columbia at the time and doing some design work for my mother-in-law when my son was, like, 6 months old. Mm-hmm. So I have a picture of me, like, managing the shop with him in, like, the baby backpack uh-huh. and me just, like, telling everybody what to do.
Awesome. So you have a kid. Uh-huh.
I do. I have a son named Jolin. He just mm-hmm. turned 9.
Holy moly. Yep. See? Yeah. Like, the purpose of this show is that, for our listeners who are listening for the first time, it is essentially the Katie Gilchrist complex of the idea that whenever we had an audience member come up to us and say, hey, oh my God, that's Katie Gilchrist up there, but I can't talk to her. I don't know how mm-hmm. to talk mm-hmm. to her. That's like an enigma, almost a personality, you know, that mm-hmm. Katie Gilchrist mm-hmm. is that. And we all know that Katie Gilchrist is just a weirdo who likes to sit on the couch and tell stories with us. And so the original concept of the show was mm-hmm. that we love to sit down with people that literally I've known you for at least 2, if not 3 years, did not know you were married or that you had a kid.
Oh, you haven't met him? Okay, yeah.
Today?
That's great.
I
think, fantastic.
Yeah, so
things.
The show just proved why we do it.
Yay!
So that's awesome. Do you have any intention of having more children?
Nope.
Only children are awesome.
I love my kid. Labor and delivery sucks.
Are you an only child or do you have siblings?
I have one younger brother. I have a degree in theater and do a lot of side hustles and make no money. My younger brother has a doctorate in biomedical engineering. Mm-hmm. And
same brain, though.
Every it's family
the,
has
the,
one.
But I'm saying it takes the same brain to do both. You just chose to focus yours in a different way.
Yeah. He's a research fellow at Boston Medical and mm-hmm. has been published in Nature. And I'm just like, that's cool.
That's fine.
Well, for about 6 weeks, people can come see your art on stage. You know, I mean, that's so fun.
Yeah.
As an only child, I appreciate other only children.
It's interesting that labor and delivery is the reason that you don't want to have another kid.
Yeah. So I went into, I guess my pelvic bones are tilted funny or something. Mm-hmm. So I went into induce on a Sunday evening mm-hmm. and had a C-section Tuesday morning.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
It's hard for me to have that conversation with any other mother because I had all 3 of my kids were relatively easy deliveries. But, like, the pregnancies weren't necessarily super easy. But, like, that part is fine. It's like having a kid at the end that I'm like, I'll do that all day long, but not all day long. But like, I don't.
But you know, like being pregnant.
I did like being pregnant.
Did you like being pregnant?
It was okay. I mean, I don't. You know what I mean? I didn't. I don't know.
There are some people I know who are just like, I loved it, like every day, you know. And I felt that.
Yeah.
And there are other people who are like, adoption.
I mean, at the time, I was, you know, I was super excited about it.
And
really jazzed about being a mom. I mean, it was something I've always kind of known that I wanted. And I would have thought that I wanted more kids, but, yeah, you know, they say you have those hormones that help all forget all of that terrible delivery and pregnancy stuff. Yeah, I don't think I have that.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I've forgotten any of it. None of it's fun, but I have I have people who tell me horror stories. Like, I have a friend who, like, severed her spinal cord. Yeah. During, like things where I'm just like, oh, I just pushed the four times. I'm sorry. That's like, I'm sorry. That's terrible for you.
Pushed all night and then he wasn't going anywhere and had to have a C-section. So yeah, that was fun.
I have such an interesting question about this and it's not even like surrounded yet. No, not about that. But it's just like, you said that you always sort of maybe thought that you were going to have kids. Like, what part of that do you think is societal compared to, like, you wanting to have children? Like, do you feel like you were told to, as a woman, to have a kid? And then you sort of were like, yeah, that sounds good. Like, do you remember being, like, young and being like, one day I'll do that, or?
I've definitely always worked with kids and been really good with kids. So I knew that I would be a good mom. I think I'm a decent mom. My husband is even better with kids. Like, he, you know, works in an alternative elementary school for kids who can't hack it in regular schools. Like, he is just phenomenal with kids.
Those are, like, the real heroes in life.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's amazing. But I do think that, like, just being career-focused and a freelance artist who makes no money was not necessarily something that was ever encouraged either.
Sure.
So I don't know that I would have done things any differently, but, you know, now I think it's a little more acceptable to only have one kid or to decide not to have kids. And so I might not have realized that until after I had a kid.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Like, it does.
Then I was like, oh, you know what? There are still other things I want to do, and I can do that with one kid. I'm also... I mean, yeah, my husband's a teacher, and I teach and am an artist, so, you know.
The next generation is within your life plan, you know, like, having another...
But I can give one kid a sustainable living. If I have more kids, then they're going to get less and less from, like, a financial standpoint.
Love talking to sort of badasses in this industry, you know, because within this podcast, you've sort of talked about, obviously, if you wore this, people wouldn't respect you. And, you know, and I'm starting to really listen, whether that is just the world around us right now or whatever, of just even those things that that women do, even still, because they don't sort of want that bullshit in a hardware store dealing with that. And it's just, it's such a fascinating conversation to me right now, because I, even though I have no kind of idea what I'm doing when I go into a hardware store, people just assume that because I identify as a male, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I just can't get past it, as much as I want to open up my third eye and be like, that shit is real. And it's out
there.
And
I will say, like, I feel like it's gotten better. Like, and maybe it's because I'm a little older, so I, you know, seem less naive and attractive. But, but like, I feel like I used to, like, occasionally get hit on at the hardware store, you know, be standing in line and someone's like, oh, you're buying paint, you're painting, you know, like, just like really like, oh yeah, what you do, maybe
what
you can come help me out. I'm like, I don't care about your contractor business, go away. But like recently I was in the hardware store, like, loading up plywood onto a cart by myself because I'm strong enough to do it,
right?
And this gentleman who worked there came over, he's like, you look like you've got this handled. But if you need any help, I'm over here. And I was like, that is the way to approach that. Right. Like,
well,
you know,
should do that with everyone.
Right.
Hey,
exactly.
It looks like you have this handled.
Right.
Let me
right.
know if you need help.
Right. Right. Because, I mean, I was loading up several sheets of plywood, and that is heavy. And
it is.
I would and he's like, you're probably going to, you know, if you need help loading that into your vehicle or whatever, let me know. Like, and it was just like, chill about it and not condescending.
What store was that?
Home Depot and Bannister.
Well, thank you, Home Depot and Bannister, you know, for acknowledging that people can do what they need to do.
Yeah.
Well, it's mostly the assumption.
Yeah.
Like we had a terrible plumber human who did a lot for the building, but was a terrible human. That came into the office and he was working on HVAC and, was
bypassed
like,
you.
He just walked right past me. Corey was like in the middle of something on the phone, I think. And I was just like, can I help you? And he was like, no, I need somebody to help me unload something off the truck. And I was like, well, he's busy. Can I help you? And he was just like, no, I need him. He's a man. And I was like, have you looked at him? Like in my head, I was like,
so
when
he went out there and did it, as she was out there though, she was
right.
like, this
I was like,
is
shit.
Fucking tough.
I
should not
wanted me to move a fucking like 5-ton compressor off of his truck. Neither of us could have done that effectively.
Well, I would
of course,
have
my rage fueled the fact that I could get it off.
Sure.
That I was just like, I'll do this. I will do this. My back was out for like
lift
a day
things
after
up.
That. Exactly.
But it is just it's all of those complex conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, at zero comparison to gay men to women. But like, there's also just things that I'm told I can't do just because I'm gay. And I'm like, but I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just so
mm-hmm.
weird to me that I mean, I guess stereotypes are there for a reason, you know, somewhere inside of the whole spectrum of it, but, you know.
Well, it all, I mean, essentially, you being judged for
it, I'm classified
being gay
as a woman.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
it's,
so,
it's still sexism, it's just because they assume you're effeminate, meaning that.
There's a Will and Grace episode that my husband and I watched last night that was essentially trying to figure out, like, what the pecking order is amongst, like, the oppressed, you know? It's like, where's the woman compared to the gay man, compared to the black man, compared
mm-hmm.
to the Muslim, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a woman walks, you know, it's just so funny.
Yeah.
And then what they realized is that the straight white man was the one who didn't get to be in the room.
Right.
They were
mm-hmm.
like, you go outside
mm-hmm.
of that. Anyway, see? Like, we tangent, and it's so fun.
yeah.
So, now to the questions portion.
Oh my gosh,
which, it's so fun to do these, because the first sort of, you know, 3/4 of it, you just sort of get to talk about yourself, and now we get to almost do, like, an eat block test with you, and figure out parts of your personality.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sure.
My beautiful friend, Maggie, what is your definition of real magic?
Real magic. You know what? I do think that, like, this magic of putting on your inner self and then going out in the world, that's my magic anyway. Like,
mm-hmm.
that I can change a little bit of who I am or present what I want the world to see by,
mm-hmm.
by how
mm-hmm.
I dress mm-hmm. and present myself.
Do you feel magical today?
I do.
Okay.
Awesome. I love magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, well, you are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
And
don't say fuchsia.
I saw that
in
the box.
Right.
64 fuchsia crayons.
Crayola contacted you
they
and
did.
Said, let us know. We'll replace that.
Awesome.
I think we want $1 million. Personally, they don't want
to
give it to
us. They
didn't
seem to want to believe that part.
No. I think I'd be one of those metallic ones, like silver metallic-y.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because if you look at it in the right light, it's gray and it seems normal. But if you, you know, kind of tilt it, then you get
mm-hmm.
the metallic and the shimmer.
That is an ink block
mm-hmm.
test. That's
because I do think that I sometimes come across as shy and unassuming, but.
Mm-hmm.
But I got some deeper.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some
I like that one.
That's fun. I love the explanation of
mm-hmm.
that. Mm-hmm.
I was afraid I was going to be real boring on this. I'm
nope.
glad I've been interesting.
Everyone is interesting
mm-hmm.
when they sit on the couch.
It's true.
Because what is kind of nice about it is that I often, like, I've had to be on a few radio shows or had some interviews recently because
mm-hmm.
of Jesus Christ Superstar, and you sort of go into the room with kind of like a main focus. And the thing that I love about this is you obviously get to pimp yourself however you want inside of it, but we're not spending the hour only talking about you painting Jesus Christ Superstar.
Right.
And so there's something that hopefully many of our guests have said after that they've left, you know, and if you sort of talk to them, that it's that they really do sort of feel good.
Yeah.
When they leave, you know, or at least I haven't made you cry yet. We'll see.
No, I mean, they'll probably anxiety cry later.
It'll be fine.
What is something that you were told you could never do or do well that you have accomplished or are in the process of accomplishing? Now she cries.
I don't know if I was told that I could never do it, but, Well, I mentioned I was really, you know, Captain Overachiever, like, in high school. So it was never offered to me to, like, take the technology courses or shop or use power tools. And so I didn't do that until I went to college and took, you know, the intro to tech theater class that everybody has to take. And I was like, holy crap! I can use the table saw and I can use a chainsaw. And I'm like, So yeah, and a lot of that stuff I've kind of either sought out or taught myself. I mean, even like, because honestly, my parents don't really have any of those skills.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my dad probably had power tools around, but never used them. So I mean, a lot of that stuff, I didn't have a role model to teach me to use, and it wasn't offered to me that, you know, nobody said, hey, you're artistic and you might enjoy working with your hands. So now, yeah, I've taught myself to do a lot of that.
Theater did that sort of for me, too. My mom and dad were not really handy people around the house, you know, almost to, like, a joke, as my father's one of the listeners, of saying, like, well, if I don't do it, essentially I'm keeping someone else in business, you know? Like, I'm fixing something, you know? Like, look, I'm actually furthering, you know, the economy in some way. But my mom's dad was really sort of, I wouldn't say handsy, and that's not right. He was not handsy.
Hands on.
And so I sort of learned some stuff through him, but it was really theater. Like, theater was the first thing that put a drill in my hand and said, I'm going to check your work, but do it. Like, learn how to do it. And there is definitely some, like, some failures that happened that I taught myself how to do better that I'm not sure if academia would have given me, really, or even, like, taking a class. I had to try and build the staircase and see that it it wasn't sturdy.
Learn by doing is a lot of my life. figure it out, you know.
We just live in a society, too, where, like, vocations are no longer really taught in a way that has made for, A, some really shoddy handiwork, you know, like, just in general, that I think it's very standard. And I think that kind of happened around, like, the Trading Spaces time of everyone hopping on that,
You're
just like, oh, you can just, with $1,000, you can read the whole house.
Just tie some shit on that couch and brand new.
Right, and then people who do things that are just ridiculous, like, and advertisers. Like, I remember watching recently a commercial, which you don't see very often anymore either, for Gorilla Glue, that, like, they Gorilla Glued the freaking hinges on a fence. Where I was just like, don't tell people that's a thing you can do. You can't do that. That's not the way that works.
It doesn't have the sound.
And it's just like, why are you advertising that? I get that you're trying to, like, show a point of, like, we can hold up to whatever. But I'm like, do that with, like, a painting on the wall. You're going to ruin the painting, too. But at least, like, that's not structural. Like, that you can't hold a gate that way. That's not a thing. Don't do that. And don't tell people who don't know any better that you can do that.
Right.
Because they'll try, and it's not right. Yeah. And I don't understand.
So I love that. So essentially, you didn't think that was in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And then it was.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it has become literally one of your professions. How freaking cool is that?
All right, let's see here. What problem or situation did TV or movies make you think would be a much bigger deal in real life?
Oh, quicksand.
Yes.
Our techs in the swamp in Never Ending Story. Yes. Like, yeah.
Tragic. I can't believe, like, that my elementary school showed me that movie. Like, I'm just in hindsight being like, you scarred all of
us. Our whole generation. Like, I have never seen Never Ending Story since I saw it in the theater because.
But I will never not see that horse going down in that quicksand for the, and him pulling.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right, right.
An entire generation of scarred humans.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah, no, that, but every movie had quicksand as a thing, it seems like, in the 80s, and I've never seen quicksand.
No, but I think it exists. It was funny, because I said that once to somebody on the podcast. I think it was my brother, and he was like, but isn't quicksand a problem? And I'm like, where are you that quicksand is a problem?
I think it's a thing, but I don't think it's like the suck you in, no. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it
well,
implies,
it's the
yeah.
Stop moving, right?
Stop moving.
The thing about quicksand or something mm-hmm. is it's like the more you flail, the more uh-huh. air that you're making it, so you actually yeah. have to, like, stop moving and let your body hit maximum mm-hmm. capacity
whatever.
Something.
Sure, yeah. I just don't know if I want to go to a place with quicksand. Where is that place? I'm going to research that.
Yeah.
It's in your nightmares.
It's right, clearly.
Also, cars and car accidents.
Right.
Right.
That's a valid fear, though.
If
it happens.
Tonight, I'm going to have a nightmare of a car, like, landing in quicksand. And that's what's going
to
happen.
And you're not moving, but the car is. And you're like, I was told to stop moving. Yeah. If only I had a punch. Like, oh, no. Well, that's funny.
Full circle.
See, that's annoying. This is my goal, is to bring it back around.
Yeah.
Full circle.
I love that. So, a question that I've sort of been throwing out recently, what is a piece of advice that you would give yourself today? Not yourself in the past, not yourself in the future, but what do you want to say to yourself today?
Today.
I'm
trying to work on not apologizing so much. I do it all the time. You know what I mean? I say, sorry all the time. And it's like, you know what? Maybe I don't need to be sorry for existing. So,
what do you think that stems from?
I think for me, it's a little bit of insecurity and like the Midwest niceness that's kind of ingrained when you grow up in this area. But I think for some, I mean, we've kind of been talking about gender stuff too. I do think for some people, like, women apologize more than men in
probably.
General. And yeah. So stop apologizing for things that, like, you don't need to be sorry for. Don't be sorry for existing.
That's I feel fun. Like I've had that sort of conversation about that idea of, not that I'm sorry has become, like, disingenuine, but that people, it's almost like a tick, you know, mm-hmm. almost. That
yeah,
people
it becomes
will say,
like a gut reaction to
yeah.
just,
oh my God,
sorry.
I'm so sorry. But yeah, I don't know if you're, but the thing
right.
is that I don't know if we in culture have, like, the right verbiage for whatever you're meaning,
yeah.
too. Like, is it like...
like, and I think there's a difference between owning when you make a mistake and fuck up and apologizing and just apologizing all the time because
yeah,
you,
right.
you know, because
and
of
I
your
sometimes
own insecurities.
Think that
so.
Apologizing sometimes actually has become a negative thing. Like, I've heard people say, well, I'm sorry, but I just don't feel that way. And you're like,
yeah.
you're actually not
sorry. I'm not sorry is not
yeah, sorry, not sorry. Yeah, so, and I have that sort of discussion with my husband, you know, because whenever you're sort of in a fight or whatever, sometimes you'll just be like, I'm sorry, but, and I have also realized that I hate the but. I hate, mm-hmm. I love you, but. I'm sorry, but. Oh. But. And I think that it completely fucks up the sentence that you're saying. And
yeah.
now I am honed in on it
yep.
in a very gross way.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Be direct and say what you mean. And you can be diplomatic about it.
Yeah.
And,
don't, try not to be rude.
Mm-hmm.
Is something that I'm,
right.
you know, that I also, like, mm-hmm. work on. Like, it, but it is okay to say, I just don't see it that way.
Right.
But that does not mean I'm sorry. You know,
yeah.
like, it's, I'm just, I'm
yeah.
very
concentrated. Well, it's okay to just say, I don't agree.
You
don't
mm-hmm.
have to, you don't have to
yeah.
preface it by
you don't have to
apologizing first.
That.
I don't
you
agree.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like the I love you, but, like,
mm-hmm.
Those are not, you can't,
yeah.
you can't give me, you know,
yeah.
variables to my I love
right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
You love
mm-hmm.
me, cool, but that does not mean that you support everything
mm-hmm.
that I do.
Yeah.
but, you know, love, it's just weird. I'm very
yep.
odd on the verbiage right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ma'am, last question for
all right.
you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You are invisible for 24 hours. What do you do with your time?
I think Maybe this is creepy as a parent, but I think I would go to my kid's school and just sit in the back of his classroom and see how he's doing. Like, not to, like, get him in trouble, but, like, yeah, because I've noticed that with, like, his school friends, he's different than he is at home. And he is a tender-hearted little kid in a public school, and I want to make sure he's okay.
There have been a lot of, it's even possible that Courtney brought this up, but there's been a lot of parents who have been on the podcast who have sort of said something similar to that, because our teachers spend so much time with our children, that at some point is their school personality more their personality than the ones sometimes that we get at home. Like, are they, but there's no way to actually check that in, because you can't be a voyeur and watch without them.
Without them knowing.
So I just think that goes for all sorts of different spectrums. Like, I spend 8 hours a day with Courtney here, and there are some nights that I only spend 4 hours with my husband.
Right.
And, you know, you're just like, Courtney actually is the person often I'm in a relationship with, and not my husband. So it's really, this thing called life is pretty goofy. Well, that was our hour.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
See, poof, it happens. Yeah. So I always like to end with two questions. One is, this is your hour and your time. Is there anything that you want to say, or words of advice, or things you want to pimp, or anything? All right,
I will pimp some stuff. Cool. So I've been doing my own personal artwork in life now, and that's fairly recent for me. Like, I do a lot of large-scale scenic painting and stuff, but I'm forcing myself to do smaller scale. I'm the opposite of most artists. Small scale is hard for me. So I have a couple of art shows. I have stuff at, and if you hadn't figured it out, I'm spooky and love October. So I have stuff at Skeleton Key on the Independence side for October. And on Saturday the 5th, I'm doing with my good pal Jamie Lindemann he has a gaming company called Nerd House Games and is releasing his first game, Bite, which is a spooky party game.
Is it a board game?
It is marketed as a board game, but it is up and moving around with cards.
Cool. I have a really good friend named Andrew Tippin, who kind of is the game guru at Pond and Pint, and he just created a game called, like, Pirate Booty, I believe. Cool. So I love that ground level, like, game making.
Yeah, so we're doing, like, a collaborative release party. So I'm showing art at the Alcott Arts Center. And I'll have some stuff there through the month of October, but, release party, with a lot of my art has skulls and lights and, spooky stuff. So, so I'm kind of the atmospheric art for the game playtest release party.
Yes.
That is so cool.
So in addition to Jesus Christ Superstar, these are the places where you can see my artwork and what I do in life.
Yes.
So Jesus Christ Superstar runs through October 12th, and you can get tickets at www.theartsasylum.org/JCSKC, and get those tickets and make sure that you come and see Maggie's beautiful work up on that stage, as well as all of our performers and tech and crew and designers and dreamers.
It's a really awesome
show. A special piece. We had our industry night last night, and I was really glad that there was people who came to see it and had the reactions that they did.
It's always nice to have audiences, but it's really amazing to have an audience of your peers, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Like, and sometimes those peers are the mean ones, and the fact that they're walking out, like, there was a couple people last night who were borderline speechless when they left. Because the experience is set up that way.
I will be honest, I've only ever seen Superstar done by community theaters who probably didn't have the talent to pull it off. So I knew this production was going to be better, but I was really blown away, like, how awesome
it is. There is, talk about magic. There is something that takes place I've said this for anyone who has seen the show or is thinking about seeing it. The first 4 minutes is the reason to come to it. The idea and what Kyle and that team created in that world in the first 4 minutes is a concept that I am just really proud that they accomplished.
It's amazing how many people have seen it. Like, Anna was here again. I think she's seen it, like, 4 times. And I'm just like, it's great to have, like, theater. Because innately, as theater artists, we judge other people's work in the best and worst way of just like, well, I know how that trick's going to happen. Or I know, you know, because we do it. We know how all of the things get pulled off. And I know how everything works and what's coming in that show, and it still shocks me every single time.
I think my husband has seen the show on his own accord willingly 5 times.
Yep. Awesome. Without you here.
He's seen a performance when I wasn't here. And I also have a psychological thing about all of that, though, is the fact that there's a lot of people who are coming to support us who have been part of the asylum sort of from the beginning in different ways. And so there is sort of this love bursting that is happening where we're all, I think we all come back into that room and we're like, do you remember when, like, we were painting those walls and all of those things? So there really is sort of that family feeling in regards to Anna. Like, I feel like Anna has to come to drop off fog sometimes, but the fact that she stays for the show is one of the cooler things. Anyway, come see it so you know what the hell we're talking about, my friends. It ain't your mama's Jesus Christ Superstar, and I sort of hate that phrase, but it is not.
It's true, yeah.
It is not. And so last question is, if you were a listener, who would you like to hear from on the couch? Who should we have on to interview?
All right, well, I already said his name. My friend Jamie Lindemann is pretty cool.
Yeah. I was like, I hope she says that. Yeah, I want him to be on.
I really loved watching his little career move.
Yeah, he's a neat dude and a fellow artist who I've known longer than my husband, actually. We met our freshman year at Mizzou.
Nice.
And he's one of my best friends. So, you should talk to him, too.
Yeah, I dig him. He was definitely part of that cusp of, you know, Fire Designs into A to Z into... Now he works with the rep, correct?
Yes.
Every time I kind of go there for some reason also lucky enough that the directors will often come ask me to, like, sit in on a tech rehearsal or whatever. And so I'll often see Jamie, like, sitting on the side taking notes too, you know, in different ways. So anyway, thanks for being on the couch.
Yes.
Yay. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. Next week we will have on one of our cast members. Her name is Callie Rodina. We are really excited to talk to her. She is playing the trumpeter Simon in the show. Because by this point, everyone
knows.
There was people last night who were like, that trumpet was so cool. And I'm like, yep, it's just a part of it. And Maggie, I hope that we get to work together in the future in different capacities. I will post a photo next time I see Cheese at the game. And so you all can see one of her definite other personalities.
I was saying, I have a good video of Cheese doing the floss recently.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm really good at that.
Can you do the floss?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I might need to catch that afterwards, especially in your pin-up dress, not your housewife dress. Yes. All right. We'll see you all next week.
Yep, sounds good. Bye-bye. And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.